Galatians chapter 2 again today. Finishing up chapter 2. And we've been in Galatians since August, I believe. And for me, that's a world record to spend that much time on a passage. Because in the afternoons, I do a whole chapter in about 15 minutes. So we're stretching Galatians out here. But there's just so much information going on, and it seems like Paul is repeating himself somewhat, but what he's doing is he's making an emphasis for a reason. There's a problem going on in the church at Galatia. There's still a problem going on in the world today. Problem hasn't changed much, just different ways that it's done. But let's revisit our context before we jump into our text today. Just briefly, Peter had been fellowshipping with the Gentiles. Everybody remember that from the last few weeks? Okay, so Peter was fellowshipping with the Gentiles. Peter was a Jew spending time with the Gentiles. So when religious Judaizers came around, anybody remember what he did? It's a quiz. Separated. He left. He ran away, put a boundary around the Gentiles. He was gone, separated himself from them. Why did he do that? Out of fear of what the Judaizers would think. In his separating, he brought others with him. Other Jewish believers that were fellowshipping with the Gentiles. When he left, they came with him. Right? Galatians 2, verse 13. Says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So in Peter's leaving, he brought other Jews with him that were fellowshipping with these Gentiles. His actions seemingly gave approval. Remember those words. His actions seemingly gave approval to the Judaizers' idea that the Gentiles had to keep the Jewish rituals before they could become a Christian. So that's what his actions are symbolizing. What this thinking does is it promotes a works-based salvation, where it's your righteousness, the things you do, plus faith in Christ. And that's what picture is being painted by Peter's actions. Paul confronted Peter and has been proving the fallacy with this thinking. You remember the last 2 weeks we talked about that? Confronted him to the face and starts saying, Peter, this is what you're doing. This is the picture you're painting. This is what's going on. You need to stop doing this. And he's been giving an overwhelming argument for salvation, for justification by grace through faith alone. Sound familiar? We've been there for a while. In our study today, Paul is going to try and bring Peter and the other Jewish Christians to their senses. And at first glance, the specific wording seems tricky. I don't know if you've cheated and read ahead, verses 17 through 21. But first time you read it, you're like, huh? Unless you're really smart and you've studied it out, or you're just really smart. It might make you think, huh, for a second. But the big picture that Paul paints here clearly drives the point home. Justification comes by faith. Remember what justification means? To declare righteous. Our right standing with God comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Not our faith plus keeping the law, not our faith plus works. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. So let's get to our text, Galatians chapter 2, verses 17 through 21. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Here's a verse probably everybody knows. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Let's pray. Dear Father, please give us understanding of your word right now. Please help us to clearly apply the truths from your word. Please, Holy Spirit, work on us. Please show us what we need to see. Please speak to us the way we need spoken to. I pray that you will work in all of our hearts and all of our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So verse 17. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Anybody think, what? Huh? What's going on here? What's he saying? There's a lot going on here. Remember what he's refuting, and that will help us as we get into our text today. He's refuting justification by works, justification by keeping the law. He's refuting that stuff, pushing that stuff down, saying that is wrong. So then his question here, he is confronting Peter with logic. He's been saying the other stuff. Now he's like, I'm going to get right to it, Peter. I'm going to get right to logic. And here's what I'm going to say. What's going on in this verse? Do we fall back into the category of sinners because we believe we are justified by faith? That's what's going on here. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Are we not truly justified, is what he's asking. If we are not truly justified by faith alone, then there's a problem. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We are hopeless. We are in big trouble. So if that's the thinking that he's refuting, is justification by works. If justification by works is correct, Peter and Paul and the other Christians that had been fellowshipping with the Gentiles are in trouble because they hadn't been keeping the Mosaic laws and rituals. They were hanging out with Gentiles. Prior to the arrival of the Judaizers, they had been freely spending time fellowshipping with the Gentiles who were considered, anybody remember what the Gentiles were considered? Verse 15, sinners of the Gentiles. If they had to keep the ceremonial law of Moses and have faith in Christ, they were in trouble, and the Gentiles were in trouble. And worst of all, as he goes on to say in verse 17, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? He's saying, hey, if justification by faith is wrong, we're in trouble. We're stuck in our sins. Not only that, Christ is the minister of sin. Do you think that would appeal to Peter's logic? Wait a minute, you're talking about my Lord. He's not the minister of sin. If nothing had gotten Peter's attention yet, I would imagine that these words did, throwing out that Christ would be the minister of sin if justification by faith wasn't the proper way to be justified. Why would Paul say something like that? He's using logic. Christ, who gave this gospel, salvation by grace through faith only through himself, would be the minister of sin if it were not the truth. I used a lot of words there to say a small thing. If what the Judaizers was promoting was truth, Jesus Christ was the minister of sin, and he would be leading people to hell. And that would mean Peter and Paul are in big trouble as well, as are all of us. Is Christ the minister of sin? What does Paul say? God forbid. Certainly not. May it never be. Paul grabbed Peter's attention and then used the strongest Greek negative possible to combat what he had just said. No way is God the minister of sin. Think of how Paul's argument would have logically affected Peter. I mean, put yourself in Peter's shoes here. By your actions, you are saying, and you're taking other people with you on a trail that says Christ is the minister of sin. I don't want to be on that boat. I don't want to be caught doing that stuff. So I picture Paul thinking, no way is Christ the minister, or Peter saying, no way is Christ the minister of sin. I better check myself. What have I done? What have I sided with? If Christ is the minister of sin, we are all in big trouble. Because personally, that's who I've put all my faith and trust in, is Christ. If he's the minister of sin, I'm in big trouble. I'm wasting my time. I am thankful that Jesus Christ is the way, that he is the truth, and that he is the life, and that we can have full confidence in Christ. The Judaizers placed their beliefs and their traditions above what Christ had said and done. Do you catch that? Because that's why they're promoting their hybrid gospel, which Paul tells us earlier that it's not even a gospel. There's no good news there. The thing is that they thought that they were right. And they were fighting and they were dragging people with them. And they were leading people in hypocrisy. Even Peter and Barnabas followed. But placing our opinions, our ideas, above what God says in his word is a dangerous place to be in. Especially a dangerous place to fight for and run people down that trail with you. Verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. What's Paul talking about here? A system which states or claims justification by works is dead. It doesn't work. So Paul is saying, if I, Paul, remember who's talking here, Paul. If I, Paul, try to revive this system, the system of being right with God through works, through keeping of the law, if I try to live it, I make myself a transgressor. I am proving myself a hypocrite and a sinner by abandoning grace for the law. And think back on Paul when he was Saul. He was all about Judaism, all about keeping the law, all about the ceremonies, a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was so adamant in that way that he would persecute people, that he was at the execution of Christians because he was so adamant about keeping that stuff, that Judaistic way. And now he's saying, if I build again these things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. I have been sharing the true gospel delivered by Christ. To go back to the false gospel is transgression. I would be going against the truth. And remember, Paul's talking to Peter here. He's shooting it straight with him, appealing to his logic. He says, I am not going to do that. Verse number 19, moving along. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live again, or that I might live unto God. So Paul says, I died to the law. I am declared righteous by Jesus Christ. I am freed from the curse of the law through Christ. Remember Galatians 3:13? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Paul says, I am not going back to this system of rituals and ordinances that cannot save me, that are impossible to save me. The curse that Christ freed me from, I am not going back to that. Why? The end of the verse tells us, that I might live unto God. I am not bound by a heavy, unbearable yoke. I am free. That's what Paul is saying. We don't have to be bound. Peter, you don't have to be bound by this yoke. It's impossible to live that way. Paul says, I have liberty, and I have liberty, I'm going to get you with it, to love and to serve. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Paul's saying, I am free to be what God wants me to be. And what God wants him to be is the key. Not free to be whatever he wants, free to be what God wants him to be. And what God is going to lead him to do is to love God and to love others. The law, catch this, focus in on this for a second. The law is not the believer's master. God is. It's not his relation to the law that saves him, but his relation to Christ. And that's the key of this whole thing. This whole confrontation between Paul and Peter. My justification comes from Christ, nothing else. It's not me doing some regimented list. It's me allowing Christ to live and to work through me. When we walk in the Spirit, when we let Christ live through us, we will be living unto God. And that's where we can miss it sometimes. Is we think if I do this, I'm living unto God. I'm a spiritual giant. I'm doing everything God wants me to be. I crossed off my good Christian checklist for the week. And what it is I am letting, what it should be, I am letting Christ live through me. I am being who God wants me to be. I am sensitive to the leading, to the guiding of the Holy Spirit. Because you can do check, 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 and you cannot be right with God. But we need Christ in us. And when he is in us, we can then execute the good works that he has called us to. It's not these lists that makes us spiritual giants. It's letting Christ live through us. And the results of that are going to be way better than this stuff would ever be. Because letting Christ live through you is real. It's alive. And we're letting God live through us. We're being what God wants us to be. Understand how it works. It's not a checklist. It's being sensitive to his leading. It's from the inside out. That's the problem with relying on this tower of checklist. It's outside. It's what people can see, how people can categorize us. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with our inside. But when we are letting Christ live through us from the inside out, then we are letting God live through us. Let God have your heart and allow him to work through you. Verse number 20, the familiar verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? What does that look like? Romans chapter 6. We'll look at verses 2 through 14. This is a whole sermon in itself, Romans 6, 2 through 14. So I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to expound on it very much. But I want you to see this thought of I am crucified with Christ. Romans chapter 6, verse number 2. Actually, we can start in verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There's those words again. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. I am crucified with Christ. The old man is dead, and the new man lives. Catch that from Romans chapter 6, if you catch anything from there. So I'm crucified with Christ. Old man is crucified. The new man lives. I'm not a slave to sin anymore. Going on to verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Catch the magnitude of that statement. Christ lives in me. If you are justified, guess what? Christ lives in you. Is that an overwhelming thought? Romans 8, if you're still in Romans 6, it's a page over. Romans 8, verses 9 and 10. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Paul recognized Christ as alive in him. As justified individuals, we have Christ living in us. We don't need the Mosaic ceremonial stuff. We have Christ. Colossians chapter 2:10 says that we are complete in Christ. Grasping that truth is life-changing. Because if we're trying to do this tower of good works to earn favor with Christ, to earn our justification somehow, we're wasting our time, we're wasting our life. Through Christ's death, through his burial, through his resurrection, he gives us the opportunity to be justified, to have a right standing with God, to be complete in Christ. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 2, verse number 20, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He was now living through his faith in Christ. Christ gave him his life, not because of anything Paul had earned or done. Did you catch that in there? The end of verse 20 makes it real clear. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul didn't do anything to favor Christ's death, to earn God dying for him, to earn God's justification. He didn't do that. Why did Christ die for Paul? Why did Christ die for us? He loved us. He loved him and he gave his life. He proved his love by giving his life. And we've heard that 150,000 times probably. But why does it get old? Christ gave his life for me because he loved me. Not because I'm a wonderful person, not because I do wonderful things, because he loved me. My unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. I am a guilty, dirty, rotten sinner that Christ still died for out of his love. And when I trust in him, I am declared righteous. He forgives a dirty, rotten sinner such as myself. He gave a gift that we don't deserve. And notice Paul's response. Verse number 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I do not frustrate the grace of God. What powerful words. What a powerful thought. Paul says, he paid my sin debt. He gave me opportunity to be justified freely by his grace. I am not going to nullify or set that aside. That's what frustrate is talking about. I am going to take hold of it, and I am not going to try to add to it. Paul recognized the only way I'm right with God is through Jesus Christ, through his shed blood, through his resurrection. That's the only way I'm right with God. And I am not going to frustrate that. I am not going to set that aside. I am not going to nullify that by trying to earn favor with God. He goes on to say, the end of verse 21, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ didn't die in vain. So don't live like he did. And that's what he's saying to Peter. Peter, when you're doing this, when you're separating from these people, when you're going back to the Judaizers, you're living like Christ died in vain. Don't undermine the necessity of Christ's death. Don't frustrate grace. That's a logical defense of justification by grace through faith. Paul made his point very clear. Any works-based salvation frustrates grace. It undermines the necessity of Christ's death. So there's our verses for the day. And you might be saying, I know that. I believed that before you started talking. Probably most of you did. And that's great. That's wonderful. But I would like to throw out there some application. As believers, our sufficiency is still of God. Our right standing with God only comes through Christ. We are complete in Christ. Peter believed this. He still got caught up in works and what others expected of him. Let that sink in a little bit. Because he identified with the Judaizers and separated from the Gentiles. But we know what Peter taught by his mouth. Jesus is the way. He taught the true gospel. But he still got caught up in works and what others expected. Remember who we're talking about? Peter. Apostle Peter. That's pretty high on that list of heroes of the faith, right? Led others to frustrate grace. And we know Peter had problems. They're recorded in Scripture. He had struggles. I was telling the leadership team this morning, I'm glad my sins aren't written down in the New Testament. Because Peter gets a bad rap sometimes. But he was human. He made mistakes. And at this point, he had led others to frustrate grace, to be hypocrites. With all that in mind, do you think there is a potential for us to do the same? And you say, I don't even know all the Mosaic laws. I definitely haven't made sacrifices in my living room. But what am I talking about? Now, what I'm talking about is this tower over here that we've been talking about, the checklist of our good works. I'm such a great Christian because I do this, 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 and this. I'm so spiritually mature. And we can lead others to think that, hey, this is the pinnacle of being a great Christian. When we miss the heart part, the part where we let Christ live through us and we let him live out of us. And I think of my children. Four small children have a great ability to drive you crazy at times. I can make them do things to be the kid that I want them to be. And they could leave the house doing all those things because it's what I expect, and they get corrected if they don't. But if they leave the house and that's all that they have is this list, guess what I didn't get? Their heart. And what they have to stand on is what mom and dad said I should do. And then real life comes at them. And they're grasping for stuff. And they end up losing it. Because they end up losing doing what was right, I guess I should say. Because all it was this list that mom and dad said. When what I need to be focused on is getting their hearts. I love Jesus. Jesus wants me to do this. I'm going to let Jesus live through me instead of a regimented list. I want them to do these right things, but I want it to be personal. I want it to be from their inside so that when they're out of the house and they start having a family, guess what? They're able to share from their heart Christ's love, what God wants, what God expects us to do. We must remember everything we are is because of Christ. Right? If we're relying on this list, pride sets in, troubles set in. Our sufficiency is of God. Everything we are is because of Christ. Let Christ live through you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Let's live like it. Let's let Christ live through us. Let's walk in the fruit of the Spirit. It solves a lot of problems. And this tower takes care of itself. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this passage of Scripture where we get to see Paul defend justification by faith, where we're challenged to not frustrate grace, because we know your death was not in vain. We know our sufficiency is only of you. You're the only way that we have hope. I pray that you'll help us to live like that, and I pray that we will let Christ live through us. Please guide us through our day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.